Oh, yeah, one more time. Well, I hope more than one more time that we're still all talking here on a Friday as we say good morning. A little chilly outside. Felt good, not going to lie.
It was nice to wake up to this
morning. Nice to have that little light jacket on and go, hey, I like a little bit of this. It's okay if it drops into the 50s or low 60s. That's okay. Some of these poor bastards around the country dealing with snow and wind. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's a football game tomorrow that I am glad that I am not part of. And it took me back to playoff games in the 80s of going, did I ever play in one of those games? And I answered to myself, no, because most of our games in the playoffs, we had one of the best records. And we were at home, whether we would win or lose, we did both. We were upset a couple of times early in the playoffs. But I never had to play in any of those games in the play. And I still remember this one. I got to throw this one out. So we played an unbelievable game. It was the game of the 80s when we lost to the Chargers. In a game we came back, we were way down, and Don Strock brings us back, and we're getting ready to go way up, and God bless Andre Franklin. He fumbles as he's making a long run. The guy strips him from behind. Dan Fouts takes him back down. Anyway, gets in a field goal kicking thing. Their guy makes it. Our guy misses. For anybody that goes back, and I know there's like 300,000 people said they're at that game, and whether you're watching or you remember it, it's kind of cool to be the game of the decade. That was the game of the decade, and it was cool to be part of that game. But the part that I wanted to get to was, so we were really bummed out. We took that hard, and the Winslow senior, right. You know, he went off, and some of our guys were mad. He had, by the way, one of the greatest games ever played by a tight end. My guys can get mad about how he acted all they want.
Oh, he also won an Oscar at the end of that game,
well,
right?
Well, you can say whatever you want, but it was one of the greatest. You put the drama and dragging off like he was going to die, and then he'd come back out and block a kick or jump over Mike Kozlowski and make a catch, and then he'd go back down again. Whatever it was, when you just put the production in there, that dude had one great Hall of Fame game, which, by the way, he went on to become a Hall of Famer. But the following week, so that was the bad part. I was bummed out. I went home after the game and trying to figure out if I wanted to get married or not at that point, too, which is always part of my life.
Oh, my God, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot right there.
But I went home, you know, I just wanted to get away because the game was just crushing. It was the hardest loss, second hardest loss that I was ever part of, because we thought we were coming back to win that game, which, you know, it's great to be part of a great game, but not when you lose. It's still a little sting.
It's got to be a winner and a loser.
So anyway, I go home and not really knowing, because back then they didn't cover the weather and stuff like they did today, and I don't know if anybody remembers this, but the Chargers, the San Diego Chargers, like, congratulations, you won, and congratulations, you're going to play in one of the coldest games in the history of the NFL. And I'm talking frostbite. I'm talking guys that didn't cover up were like,
that's crazy.
It was serious bad, like serious cold. So that part was like, well, we could have won. My ass is going to have to play in that too. But
that's a difference
that?
In those two games.
I want to
right?
say it was Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken, Cincinnati. And Cincinnati just pounded the Chargers because they were like us. They were finesse and threw the ball around, and I think they got pounded in that game too a long time ago. So anyway, yeah, there's a game going to take place tomorrow night. They couldn't do it early. Of course, it's got to be the Saturday night game. The Patriots going to Buffalo again, where the temperature is expected to be with wind chill right at zero.
Yep. One, 4 two. Degrees at 8, 4 degrees at 9, 3 yeah. degrees at 10, 11, 3 degrees. But the real feel is the one next to it, negative 6, negative 6, yeah. negative 8, negative 6.
So if you want to throw in that little 15 to 20 mile an hour wind that Buffalo right. always has, it's going to get a little cold. But whatever it is, and I don't know about you guys. So I want to ask you guys this question this morning, because I always hear this, like, I love those old cold weather NFL games. I live for those. I'd rather see better conditions where everybody can play at their best, but I do have great respect for a couple of quarterbacks who play in a lot of that stuff, including that guy in Green Bay who gets ripped
and
all the time.
It doesn't affect them at all.
And it doesn't right. affect his throws at all. Probably Mahomes, another one that's got a weatherproof, one of the great weatherproof accurate arms in the league.
You just talked about two of the biggest cannons in the league, too, with those arms.
But, yeah, I was just thinking, and my first thought was, folks, don't get mad at me. I sure am glad I'm not playing in that game. Although, you know, it's a playoff game, a chance to win. We'll see how both teams who are used to it, they're both Northeast teams, so it's not like it's going to be shocking, but it very seldom gets this cold.
Yeah, it looks like it's freezing.
They're talking about anybody that's got to go to Green Bay the following week for the opening of their playoff game. They're talking about it being a lot colder than that. So anyway, we'll find it. You guys like those cold weather, old school games?
I'd rather see a game where, you know, both quarterbacks are at their peak and they can do what they have to do and the teams are there. I don't mind watching a snow game, but
– No, I just
– I'd rather see a better weather game than a snow game.
All right.
I kind of – like, it's funny because you're sitting there on your couch like a lazy pig, like sitting on your couch eating, and these guys are all out there like just –
You see the breath coming out.
Yeah, you're
and
like,
I mean, it's coming out like a
fans,
fog.
And they got like the you know, the icicles coming out of their nose.
And it's packed.
It's like sitting there on your couch. And it's like, I mean.
Like, let me tell you something. Those Buffalo fans, whatever market that is, last or second last with Jacksonville, that thing's going to be packed with liquored up, crazy ass fans getting there early. And
Bills Mafia.
And we will see somebody that's either in a T-shirt or going to take that shirt off to make sure. They're on TV all painted up with gold bills on their belly and stuff.
We're going to see a player in pregame come out there with just like the armbands on, like, you know, looking like a tough guy.
I don't.
Everyone's got to go to one of those games in their lifetime, though, by the way. Like, that's the thing. So you can really, like, when you sit on the couch, so you can seriously, like, appreciate it. I went to a game at Soldier Field in, like, late January. It was, like, early January or late January. And it was just the most intense, bone-chilling cold I've ever felt in my life. And we were layered up, and it was just awful.
I'm going to pass.
But why does everybody have to do it on my couch?
You should experience something like that.
Why? So you can leave at halftime, and your kids are going, Dad, I want to go
home. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, listen,
I'd rather have a bottle of something at the house and watch it on the couch.
That's a special cold at that stadium, by the way, at Soldier Field with that lake that's right there.
Oh, no, there's a couple of them now, to be fair.
That's a special one.
Yeah. The Chicago, the Cleveland is special. Green Bay is very special to me. Buffalo and Kansas City also. I mean, we can go through it. I don't know how you rank them, but don't ever count out Buffalo being top three. Anytime there's cold weather anywhere in the country, you're going, oh God, Buffalo. I remember doing a game. Thank God I'm telling you I was doing a game. I'm doing a game, and they had said it was going to rain, and the first half is like, man, this isn't bad. And I walked down on the field before in my jacket, but I was all right with a big, heavy jacket. I went, this isn't bad. You know, I'm talking to some players. I go, yeah, this isn't bad at all. And then you see it coming over. You're up high, and you see it coming in. They go, snow's on the way. And within 20 minutes, you couldn't see the 10-yard line from the 30-yard line. It was
You have open-air booths at all those places?
Yeah, we like it, though. I like it open.
Well, it's cold, boy.
I like it open to just because I like to hear the crowd and just really
what do
get
you do?
A feel.
You have like a heater in there or something though?
Yeah, they got heaters and stuff inside, but listen, that stuff blows right in there and you whatever you're wearing outside, you're wearing in that booth, but it's kind of cool. And the first time I complained about it, I made a mistake in front of Mad Dog, who's a man's man, blasted me.
Yeah, of
it was
course.
Just like, you know, about my panties and stuff. And so I had to – and never did that again. And Jimmy Cephalo's from Pittston, Pennsylvania, where, you know, half the year it snows. So anyway, I go, you know, they don't want to hear about a California / Florida.
Here's the Marysville kid.
Yeah, complaining about that stuff. We got a lot of stuff going on here, and the stories that just keep on giving to South Florida that are even tied in, even when a story's taking place in Texas – it's still connected to us. So, David Coley, congratulations. One of the very few one-and-done guys. I believe he becomes the 12th one-and-done coach since 2006. I don't think the guy did anything wrong. They screwed that up, and it was like he got it. Now, listen, he is going to get paid for a few more years. But some people are pretty salty about, wait, that guy, everything he went through. And that roster, and he lost his job. A lot of people believe that Brian Flores, who's connected to their general manager, through the Patriot days is going to be the next head coach there if he doesn't take the Chicago Bears job. And I don't know if it's true or not, but I know his name has been popped up at those two locations to get one of those jobs. But I was just thinking, wow. So you take that job. And again, David Coley was probably not going to get offered another head coaching job in his life.
No, probably not.
66 years old, gets a chance to be a head coach. Doesn't matter where it was. Could have been over in Alaska. He was going to take that job and had no shot.
No, he set up for failure.
The good news, he got a lot of money coming in over the next few years. I think it was a four-year contract.
Yeah, $17 million, I think, left that he's being paid over the next 3 or 4 years.
All right, yeah. So it's not great money. It's not, you know, top-notch money, but at least he'll get some out of that. But what an awful, like, wow.
What'd they expect from Cully?
And done.
Right.
He literally, and I hate to put anybody with Cam Cameron in the morning, but he has joined the Cam Cameron list of one and dones where it's just so bad. I don't know how dysfunctional it was there, and that could have been part of, we never know those stories. But the other part coming out here that I did want to get to here on a Friday, and again, this story just keeps on giving. It won't go away. So more stuff about Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa and Chris Greer. Apparently, Brian just really struggled to get along with Tua, called him out, cursing. Apparently, those are the reports that – now, there's a new report out there that says he even went as far as to say, I wish we would have drafted Mac Jones instead of you. Now, I have trouble believing that happened. Now, listen, I know we can dogpile all we want on Coach Flores. And by the way, congratulations, Dolphins. We are a great team for leaking stuff out that when we want to make sure we look good during this bad time of firing a coach, to make sure stuff leaks out. But, Dolphins are going, we didn't have anything to do with that. All that stuff's coming out. But I just have trouble believing.
Well, you saw where that came from,
Michael,
right?
Lombardi.
Right.
So I thought about getting that audio this morning and playing it, but then he came out afterwards and said he misspoke. So I didn't want to throw the guy under the bus completely, but
I think everybody can kind of put the pieces together. But I'll say this, and I like Michael Lombardi a lot. I do. I love having him on because he says whatever he's thinking. But I have a lot of trouble. You report something like that. It is so childish. I've seen so many guys get their ass chewed by coaches or a coach, and he never said, why in the hell did I take you when I could have taken that other pass receiving tight end? He's a hell of a lot better than you are. I just...
That's a lot for a coach to say right there, and then now, especially when Mike Lombardi has to come back out on social media and say he misspoke on his own podcast. Like, that's a,
It's just, listen, we can report everything that's out there, and it is out there, and it picked up a lot of speed last night. But
Of course it did.
I would just say, like, hey, Michael, do you really think? Now, listen, Brian Flores, he may be a cold-hearted, mean person. A lot of it may have to do with his background. I'm not going to sit here and analyze Brian Flores because I never saw that side of him, so it'd be all made up. Which I do from time to time, but so this thing with Tua, but whatever it was, the way he was talking to Tua, he apparently hadn't been spoken to that way before. But I really, on behalf, and nobody's defending anything Brian Flores does, so this is not real popular. I have a real big issue and trouble believing that Brian Flores said to Tua Tagovailoa's face, especially at halftime in front of other players, why didn't I take that friggin' guy from New England? I should have known. You can't throw the friggin' ball. I just have – now.
That's like something you say when you're like at the end of a fight with someone. You're like, say something you don't mean. You have to apologize afterwards.
You say right before you get divorced.
There's no way.
There's no way, especially in front of other guys.
Right.
Now privately, if you want to go, I'm going to look at – you're not throwing the ball well enough. You didn't look like you were prepared for cold weather to throw the ball, which would have been true. I just all this stuff. And then the Chris Greer thing comes in, and You know, I don't know. It may sound like Chris was like, hey, Tua, I'll take it from here. Hey, coach, you're not going to talk to our guys that way. That's not going to be done. Our owner does not allow that. Do you remember Bully Gate around here? Which is stuff I was thinking about. You
right,
know, and
of
I was
course.
Trying to figure out. But
you want to hear it, by the way? You want to hear from Lombardi?
Yeah, go ahead. Hit me a little bit.
All right.
The Miami question for me is, which I think they're going to find out if people are honest in the interview, right? Like, a lot of people are never honest in the interview. They tell the owners what they want to hear. They tell the GMs what they want to hear. But if you're really honest, are you going to sit there and say, I can build a team around Tua? Because that's what Ross wants to hear. That's what Brian Flores wouldn't say. I mean, we've seen all the conversations that Flores basically was, you know, had with Tua, where Flores told Tua at halftime of the Tennessee game, this has all been reported. I mean, look, I don't think Flores was shy about telling him, hey, I should have picked Mac Jones. I mean, I don't think he was shy about telling him that. In fact, I know that he wasn't. You know, I remember I said there was commentary between the head coach and Tua during the season, and I wouldn't reveal what the conversation was. Well, the conversation was, hey, if I knew you were going to be this bad, I'd have picked Tua. I would have picked Mac Jones. That's the conversation. So, you know, I don't think there was any. So the next guy come in, if Flores felt that way, how is the next guy going to come in and fix it? You say, well, they're going to run an offense that suits what Tua does. They are running an offense that suits what Tua does. It's the only offense you can run. It's the only one you can run. You got to run an RPO where he can throw little passes and run after the catch.
So anyway, that was Michael Lombardi, and of course came out with an apology saying,
I misspoke on the pod, and those were my words for Flores, not his.
All right. Well, listen, we got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Besides that, the story just keeps giving, man. It just keeps giving. I still have trouble believing that Brian Flores probably figured out that Tua wasn't what he thought he was going to be or didn't want him to start with, although we'll never know that for sure.
Are we ever going to get the true story on that?
But
one, right?
This is a tormented fan base right now. Do you realize like, what's happening to this poor fan base? Like, yeah. I have friends that are on my group thing that are just diehard Dolphins fans, and they hear Flores possibly going to Houston, and Deshaun Watson will stay, and oh my goodness,
that
man.
Cold-hearted coach is going over there after the things he says to players.
Like, could you imagine if he ends up in Houston, Deshaun Watson
we
stays gotta
try
there?
To get
right. We said that a couple days ago, right?
When he got fired. Try to get Brian Flores on this show. Hopefully he'll just say, hey, there's a lot of stuff out there. Time out for a second here. Let me
can we set the record straight?
So I do love this, though. Like, we're talking about all these bad things and this mean-spirited, cold-hearted head coach that he is. And meanwhile, he may have two teams offering him a head coaching
job. At least two, right?
All right, listen, we got to go to break here. Randy Mueller's going to join us, former Miami Dolphins general manager. We'll talk to him about all this stuff coming up with head coach and general manager and relationships. And I just thought all this bad relationship stuff was stuff that's followed me around. And I didn't realize it goes on more at the Miami Dolphins than it has in my personal life.
Slowly following you around.
What do you got
for me? All right, well, it's never too early. I know it's Friday morning, but have a glass of Zaffa rum. That's right. Get ready for Friday night. Get ready for the long weekend. Whatever the case may be, you do it with a bottle of Zaffa rum. It's your turn now to try Zaffa rum if you haven't already. When I did the first time, I was blown away. It was really, really good. And I'm still drinking it to this day. Still my drink of choice when I go somewhere, go to a party, have people over. It doesn't matter. I break out the Zaffa rum or I ask for it wherever I'm going. It's unlike any other rum that I've had before because it's aged in those bourbon oak casks I always tell you about. So if you're looking for an upscale luxurious spirit, you found it. Two different bottles you could get of Zaffa rum, the 21-year age bottle or the limited edition 30-year age bottles of Zaffa rum. Perfectly balanced with a taste of fruit and spice. It's got that elegant aroma because of those bourbon oak casks. Great for top shelf cocktails, sipping straight up or on the rocks, and great with your favorite cigar. So, you love having a cigar on the weekend, any night of the week, during the day, at the beach, doesn't matter where it is. Well, Cigar Aficionado magazine recommends Zaffa rum by saying with its spice and oak barrel flavors, it's a spirit that seems purpose-built for a cigar. Zaffa also received an exceptional 95-point rating from the Beverage Tasting Institute, just another one of their prestigious awards there. So now it's your turn to have Zaffa rum, to try Zaffa rum. Ask for it at your favorite retailer, restaurant, or bar. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram. They're social media friendly. That's Zaffa rum, Z-A-F-R-A. Zaffa rum reminds you to always drink responsibly, and remember, there is no rum without Zaffa.
Oh,
the weather outside is frightful, but the fire
come
is
on,
so
man, it's
delightful.
Not, it's not that cold, Woody. Calm down a little bit. You make it sound like we're up in Buffalo getting ready for that game tomorrow night. Stop it already. Feels good, man. 50s or 60s, whatever. The next few days are going to bring, I guess, anything from the low 50s to low 60s.
I love when it drops under 70 here. You drive around, people look like they're about to hit the
Parker
slopes.
Weather, yeah.
Well, the ladies get to bring the boots out.
Joe gets to bring out the leather jacket this weekend.
Yeah, the boots are big for the women, though, man. They love those things. There.
It's not. It's done?
So I have learned something about myself. When my guys bust my chops when we're always together about having the same thing on, it disappears. It just – they're going, hey, bro. Nice to see that jacket you spent so much money for in Italy. How many years ago was that?
You got to make the best out of it, though.
And I was like, okay, I'm done. You guys busted my chops. You guys win. It affected me. They got on me about a bad haircut. Now I'm letting my hair grow out. I went, they got me again. Anyway, hey, listen, we got a lot of stuff to get to. David Coley was the news yesterday. Now some of you are going, David Coley? Yeah, not exactly a household name, but he was for 1 year the head coach of the Texans, and yes, he gets the Cam Cameron one and done on the no-shot roster that he was coaching. Do you know what that adds up to for head coaches now that have been?
The one and done?
No, not the one and done. Just
coaches. What are we up to, eight now?
We are at eight head coaches. Right. By the way, you know how many last year? Well, you wouldn't know. There's no word for it. Seven.
Is that it,
Fifth? Huh? 15 coaches
in 2 years
have been almost half the league. There's 32 teams. Almost half the league has fired their head coach every couple. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy, right?
It is one of the craziest numbers. And listen, fair or not, and usually it's not.
Well, in Cully's respect, it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. He got fired after 1 year.
A lot of people think it wasn't fair down here either.
Probably not. You know, you look from a distance, and we can only look from a distance in Houston, but what'd they expect in Houston? Go to the playoffs? Deshaun Watson not on that team basically anymore. They get rid of a couple veteran guys during the season. He kept the locker room kind of together. They won, four games?
I don't know about keeping the locker room together, but I don't know what he was expected to do. Would they end up winning four games?
I think they won four games,
4-13, but yeah, so he's out, and you know what that adds to that, if you know the relationship with the general manager for the Texans, is that Brian Flores, if he doesn't take the Chicago job, will be offered the Texans job. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen for sure. Then, of course, all the other stuff that just continues to come in. It is amazing for his private. And listen, in fairness to Brian Flores and Chris Greer, they're both have been very private guys. Like, nothing has leaked out. As a matter of fact, that was a huge pet peeve of Brian Flores, if you've been reading stuff. And one thing is true, he didn't want anything leaking out, whether a guy might or might not play, even if he was running down on special teams. He didn't want anybody to know. And so they did a pretty good job of that. But now the floodgates have opened on these stories, and it started with Brian Flores and Tua going at it at halftime of the Tennessee game, and now Chris Greer, and they couldn't agree, and they weren't getting along, and it was bad, and Brian Flores, and so now we've brought out everything about Brian Flores, not which, by the way, some of this stuff nobody should care about, whether he talks to somebody, whether he gets on somebody. I don't know. Last time I checked, one of his jobs is not to be the most popular guy, but the most respected guy where you play hard for him.
That's all it's about, right? Don't you think he was respected by at least the players, not locker room?
I think there are a lot of guys that didn't like him.
Okay.
But I think they respected the fact that, look, the guy worked ridiculous hours. I know a couple of times I went out there at 4:30 in the morning when we were doing our shows out there, and he was already there. So, I mean, the guy wasn't shortchanging the team. I've heard other stories about him calling his coordinators at home at 10 at night to ask him a question and want to go over a few things because it was on his mind. I'm not going to get on a guy like that. Now, some guys may not like that. Like, Coach, why in the hell can we have done that during the hours? The hours are already long. So there's been other stuff that I've heard throughout this thing, but at the end, and of course Michael Lombardi, and we just played a little while ago. We'll play it again at 7 o'clock hour if you missed it. Michael Lombardi, of course, with the connection with Coach Flores with the New England Patriots. Everything goes back to the New England Patriots
somehow, some way.
So some of the things that were said, because there was one thing that Brian Flores is being accused of. Michael Lombardi said everybody knew about this, and it was. I have trouble believing, and I've seen Don Shula as fired up as any one human being can be, and I've heard him say to guys, I will get rid of you guys and go to the high school down the street. Carroll City High School was always the one he went to. He goes, I will go to Carroll City if we're going to go 8-8, because I'll go 8-8 with those guys. And we used to go, all right, coach, little ego today. I like that. But he got his point across when something wasn't good.
Okay.
He would throw that in there, but he never singled out, I should have taken the guy right behind you, or anything like that. It's hard for me because I've never heard of a coach doing that, getting in specific. I've seen coaches fired up about the way guys are not performing.
Okay, that's fine, but this is something different.
This is like
something we never heard of.
Apparently, we took the wrong guy from Alabama. Like, now, I guess there were guys around when these comments were supposedly said, but Tua would know more than anything. Hey, listen, there's a lot here. I know the latest thing now coming out is Tua's now going to have another offensive coordinator, a new system to learn, new players around him. What in the hell are the Dolphins doing to this young franchise quarterback? He's got no shot. Now, listen, I agree. I was lucky Don Shula never changed the offense, which I've told you guys many, many times. It was same basic plays throughout the 70s and 80s and 90s that coach would run, no matter who the coordinator was. He was making sure the new coordinator had to come in and learn what we did and not the other way around, because coach didn't want to learn a new offense. But learning all these new offenses really sucks. I wasn't the smartest guy to start with, and just going through new terminology would have been. They'd have been screaming at me in preseason, you screwed it up again. You did it again.
Just think how much movement he's had since he's got on this team.
Yeah.
Quarterback and coaches, and coordinators,
way,
everywhere.
In fairness to him, it sucks. First 3 years, three programs. Hey, we got 7 o'clock hour coming up. A lot more stuff to jump on here this morning as we continue on here on a Friday. We do have some good news. Anytime the Panthers and the Heat are playing at home, it's usually really good news. They're both back in action tonight, and can you believe it? We got a doubleheader for the NFL playoffs starting tomorrow, so we got a lot more. We got some good news. One guy found out he's going to be an all-star. We'll have you get you caught up and all that stuff coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour. But first, I want to talk to you about Jeff and the family. All you got to do is say Jeff and the family at Beverly's Jewelers. Now, I know the holidays are over, but that doesn't mean birthdays and anniversaries are over. And a lot of you are still looking for that perfect piece of jewelry that says, I love you. A lot of people getting ready to get engaged. And, man, when you talk about engagement, you're talking about diamonds. You're talking about a large selection of GIA-certified mined and lab-grown diamonds. Jeff goes and gets himself. The guy's very knowledgeable about diamonds. You get a low-price guarantee. But more importantly, you just get a lot of different diamonds to choose from, whether it's for the diamond engagement ring, necklaces, bracelets, earrings. You get the low price guarantee every day. They will educate you on that diamond you may like or want to know why something costs what it costs. You guys are really good. They've been doing it for a long, long time at Beverly's Jewelers, and they really do have something for everyone. There's a reason I've been going there a long time, and I'm just like you. I don't want to overpay for anything in life. And Beverly's Jewelers, still family-owned and going strong. Interest-free free financing available, including free gift wrapping. Gold buyers on site for immediate payment. Take it from me. They've been my trusted jeweler for a long, long time. They'll be yours, too. Visit Beverly's at their Fort Lauderdale location off Commercial Boulevard. Man, it's a nice, big, beautiful place. They can even make beautiful pieces for you. So get on down there. Check it out. Go to BevJewelers.com. Beverly's Jewelers, family-owned and operated since 1968, where South Florida gets engaged.